We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Good morning, Grinders. Welcome to the DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender and Blender HD. If you want to follow me on Twitter, and it's Wednesday, June 7th, and things are still rolling. We're rolling. We're into June. We got MLB, DFS going solid. Got some MMA coming up this weekend. It's not a very good card. Is it a good card for a pay-per-view, you know, caliber fights? I don't know. I mean, I'm just talking about from a DFS perspective. Only 11 fights on a pay-per-view card? It's kind of weird, right? Typically, it's much bigger, right? So, I don't know. We'll be talking about that on Friday. Obviously, answering your questions like I normally do here, right? You could send them in, questions at theoryofdfs.com. I'm letting them pile up, right? Looking for topics to discuss that you would like me to discuss and talk about. And obviously talk to the people in the YouTube chat. Wata, Suki Singh, the early birds. Good morning. Jay Simmons, Barbie, Matt Mears. Good morning. Hit that thumbs up button. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Give me those thummy thumbs. Right? Some nice free content. Some unstructured learning in the morning as we learn. We mostly talk about math. It's mostly mathematical concepts here that'll help you be more profitable in daily fantasy sports. Now, if you want structured learning, you could just go to theoryofdfs.com. You could pick up my 15-hour audio masterclass. You could pick up the advanced players guide with custom Excel tools. You could get all of this, right? So you don't have to go through 400 hours of shows and questions and repeats and explanations and everything. You get all nice. It's like going to a college class and learning, listening to a lecture and going through some exercises. And there you go, theoryofdfs.com. But people often ask. They often ask in my DMs or in emails. sometimes on the show. You know, because obviously here at Roto Grinders, we have projections, right? We have player projections, we have ownership projections, we have tools like Lineup HQ, we have simulation outputs like Slate IQ for MLB. We do that for NFL, for showdown contests, for golf, for whatever, for everything. I mean, that's the purpose of subscribing to Roto Grinders, right? You get all of that. You also get, you know, the regular content, right? The analysis, game by game, and player analysis and stuff like that, as well as the Discord, right? I have a channel in there. You can talk to me anytime you want in the Blender's Game Theory channel. But we got premium chats for every sport, and also every product, right? Derek Hardy's the bat. There's the bat chat. You get his projections if you want. It's like, what is the gap between? Because people ask, like, what is the best? Who has the best projections? Because I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that RotoGrinders is the only place where you can get that type of stuff. Okay, I'm not gonna tell you that. Oh, we exist in a bubble, right? I use RotoGrinders stuff. I'm here at RotoGrinders. I used RotoGrinders stuff before I was even a host on the show. Before I was part of the team, I was in Discord, just a normal person, just chatting it up with people, right? I was a subscriber back in 2016. Way before this. So this is what I use, right? As part of a suite of everything that I use. I also use the custom Excel tools that are part of TheoryOfDFS.com. I use it. Anything I show on the show is what I use. I mean, that's the point. I'm not going to say, oh, here's this thing and I don't use it. And what's the point? Okay? Now, sometimes you get a little bit more advanced and there's things that you do faster on your own than a tool that could help someone that has no idea what they're doing, right? But that's kind of the point of tools. So people ask often, like, who has the best MLB projections? Or who has the most accurate NFL ownership? Who has the best optimizer? Who is the best lineup builder? Who is the best, all about best? And my typical response is that the difference between places that offer these things is not dramatic, right? It's not about having the best projections. It's about having projections. It's like I always say, like, oh, you're looking for the best MLB projections. That I personally think I know Derek Hardy's process. It encapsulates a lot more than any other place that I know of. So I would consider that the best. They said, oh, okay, so I should get Derek Cardi's projections. I said, no, you said, do you currently have a way of turning player names into numbers, which is what projections are? Do you have a current? No. I said, so anything. You don't have to get Derek Cardi's projections. You just have to have a way to do that. Even if it's a little less accurate. You know what's going to be more accurate then? Having none. Right, simply having the projections that are anywhere close to reasonably accurate is better off than you are now. Way better off than you are now. And the same could be said for ownership projections. The same could be said for any tools. Right, so new tools come out in the industry all the time. Right, RotoGrinders here. I mean, we release stuff on a yearly basis. I think they're working on some stuff for NFL Showdown this coming year. That's going to be a new tool for you to use, right? We have ResultsDB, right? We got even at scoresandodds.com, you got like single game parlay tools. Obviously that on the betting side, you're not like, it's not peer-to-peer, not competing against anyone. There's plenty of tools. Which one, who has the best tools? Like that's not the issue. It's who uses tools, who uses projections, and who doesn't. That's more important. That makes up more of the skill gap than anything else. We were having this conversation in the bat chat last night, a nerdy tenor, because we were talking about, you know, as far as new tools pop up and go like, oh, do I need to use this? Do I need to, new projection system, new some whatever. It's like, it's going to kill the game. It's going to kill the game. No, it's not going to kill the game. It's not about what tools are better, right? If you're going to go and you're going to get my custom Excel tools as part of Theory DFS for advanced players, it should make you a better player. How much better of a player will it make you? Well, it depends on what your baseline is. If you're already a bad, if you don't understand, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you're watching this show, you're probably not half bad. But if you're a bad player that doesn't understand even the concepts of decent DFS play, like, the tools aren't going to do anything for you. You're not even going to understand what the tools do, right? What you're even looking at, what the numbers even mean. You're going to actually probably misinterpret that, okay? All the tools do is maybe make slightly below average players average. Make average players into slightly above average, right? The difference between great DFS players and above average DFS players is minimal, right? The difference between Awesomeo or Brick 75 or Giant Squid or name your McLovin, name Uticao, name all those people. If you're playing large field GPPs, the difference between them and you, if you're a profitable player, right? If you've had long-term profit, if you've been playing for years, right? Doesn't mean you're a profitable player because the sample size you need is still ridiculous. But most likely, you're not that much worse than the top players in the game. You're not. The skill gap, as Dirty Tenor we were talking about, is that the difference between a good player and a great one is much, much smaller than the difference between a semi-decent player and a bad one. Because we were talking about, like, where the edge comes in DFS. We've talked about this before. You could go back to some old videos from earlier this year about, you know, GPP equity dynamics, right? If we go back to January, you can find some videos. Go search them out. Like, where does the equity go? Right? Where does that equity come from that we can win? Where does the money come from? Right? That's probably the most important episode. So if you want to look at where does the money come from, it comes from the bad lineups, right? The heavily negative EV lineups that people enter. And depending on the sport and depending on the contest, that can make up 20, 30, sometimes 40% of all the entries in the contest. The other 60%, let's say 40%, let's say really soft, 40% of the entries are negative, or at least are worse than the rake or worse, right? So 85 cents on the dollar or worse lineups. Well, in order for your lineups to be profitable, they don't have to be that dramatically better than, like, the top players have lineups that are $1.22 and you have lineups that are $1.16. Like, you still have profitable lineups, but there's a big difference between your $1.16 lineup and someone else's 64 cent lineup, right? That doesn't have projections, doesn't have just playing MLB, playing 8 one-offs that still project and doesn't play the obvious 8-point over the field size projected pitcher. Like, they're sitting there with a lineup that's 42 points below average and not correlated, and it's like, okay, this lineup is like 3 or 4 times worse than the rake. Like, those people matter more than what the difference is between you and the top players. As long as you're above the line, as long as you're decent enough, and you're playing against enough soft competition, the difference between a good player and a great player in DFS is really it's quite marginal. Okay? So when it comes to tools, when it comes to projections, like, to me, projections are table stakes. If you don't have projections, I think long-term you're a lost cause. As far as being able to turn those player names into numbers and then arrange the numbers better than your opponents, there is a value in getting better, in increasing your skill gap on the worst players. But it's not about getting better than the top players. That's not where the bulk of your money comes from. A bulk of your money will come from the bad players. So I got a sketch pad. You know me with the awfully drawn graphs that I do on occasion on the show, right? So if you want to let's draw a graph, okay? So we're going to put in, and we're going to put in, like, this is like the EV line, right? So we're going to say this is EV, theoretical EV, right? We're going to put this at one. And let's say it's adjusted for the rake, right? So one would be profitable, right? And this would be zero, right? And then what do lineups look like? What we have a large field contest. So this is... We have the lower percentiles. So this is like the skill level. So this would be like skill. We'll call it skill, I guess. Right? So what this will look like what the percentiles are, is that the top players will be somewhere over here. Right? So well above this EV, right? The break-even point of a dollar or whatever per lineup, rake adjusted. But it'll just slowly come down. This is the number of users and whatever. It'll go like this, right? Till we got to like the break-even point, and then it's gonna go kind of sharply. A little bit more sharply, like something like this. Okay. So here's the theoretical break-even point. If we could just put little dashes here. Right. So let's say that's the break-even point. Okay. So the difference between, let's say, top players are over here. Like the difference between that top player and an average player, like the difference is not that large. But as you go down to the worst line, this lineup down here is like a lineup that, like, obviously one that's all the way at the bottom is probably a lineup that was like reserved and never entered. Like one of those lineups. Like, oh, they reserved their entry, just never put in a lineup. Zero, done. You have no players, right? Sure, that's that line. But you got a plenty of negative EV lineups, like down here, way down here. It's not. This is not like, oh, and it goes to over here, and that's the difference. If the difference was over, if the bad players ended up over here, no one would make money. Okay, this curvature. At this point, matters more than this curvature up here. People focus too much on this top, right? So you see Utica, whatever, right over here, and let's say you're sitting here, right? You don't realize you're sitting there, right? It's like, oh, I'm a profitable player. I've been playing for whatever amount of years. It's like the difference between the average EV of your lineup versus the average EV of Utica's lineups is not that dramatic. It's really not that dramatic. As the game moves on and on, less and less bad players. I mean, that's the natural progression of a game. Like, you care more about this. I don't care about Utica's lineups. If I'm sitting here, if I'm sitting right there, I'm profitable, right? Even if I'm sitting here, I'm profitable. I'm a little bit less profitable. But if I did everything I can, if I took programming classes, if I developed my own projections and my own simulations and my own everything, and I got an MIT scientist to live with me, right? He lives in my closet, and he's going to do all this data analysis, and we're going to get a supercomputer, right? We're going to start spinning up Amazon Web Services and running. We're going to do all of that. We're going to spend 80 hours a week crunching the numbers and analyzing contests and all that type of stuff. Like, that'll get you from that spot to the spot up here, right? But over here, you have an EV, let's say, of $1.16. It's like that'll get you from $1.16 to $1.21. Which, hey, that's a little bit more profitable. A little bit more. You get a little bit more than your fair share of equity up here, right? But let's say you're a bad player, right? You're probably not watching this show. Let's say you're sitting down, maybe not all the way down here, right? But maybe you're sitting over here, right? This is probably someone that I don't want a computer to tell me what to do. Projections are spooky and unnatural, right? That's probably that type of player, right? That's like, no, I'm gonna go buy basketball players' haircuts and sneakers and, you know, trends and stupid stuff, right? Occasionally, they'll have plus EV lineups by happenstance. But in the long run, their lineups are down at the 78 cents, right? They don't have a $1.16 lineup. They have 78 cent lineups. Sometimes they have 64 cent lineups. Occasionally they have a $1.07 lineup. Yeah, I mean, just it's not going to be every day, but on average, they're going to be losing money. Now, if they simply just said, okay, I'm going to give in. I'm going to look at player projections to decide more, maybe not heavily more, but more about what lineups I should be playing in these contests. He's going to go from here to maybe here. Still maybe losing, but dramatically losing dramatically less money. Like just that simple, I'm going to look at projections, could take you from 78 cent lineups to 97 cent lineups, where you're losing a little in the long run. Like that gap is huge. Now you start looking at ownership projections because you're playing GPPs and you're like, okay. You're considering that sum, right? You're considering correlation to some degree, right? In baseball, it's like, oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna stack five man stacks, and I'm gonna start doing that. Well, that player just is now over here, not in this spot. They end up becoming a slightly profitable player, or close to around a break even. Then once they stop by this show, they go to theoryofdfs.com. They listen to the 15-hour audio masterclass. They listen to the advanced course and they start using the custom Excel tools. They go, oh, I'm understanding how this game is played conceptually. I'm understanding. That's what that projection means. I've been too reactive. I've been thinking about, you know, he struck out 8 last time. He's got to strike out this again. Like, oh, okay, that's not the right way to think. I'm starting to think better. Now that person's going from this spot to this spot. Right? Didn't move that. It really didn't move that much. It went from a break-even player to now a decently, you know, somewhat profitable player. Maybe ends up moving up a little bit. You know, I would think that a lot of people that watch this show are somewhere in this range, right? Somewhere between maybe this guy and this guy. Right? That you're a little bit above break-even to decently above break even, somewhere in this gap. The people I'm trying to reach, my target demographic is more of these people, right? Kind of the ones that are around the break even line. The ones that are down here are a lost cause. Most of the time, the reason why they're down here is because they look at a show like this and they go, "You're talking gobbledygook. I don't want to learn about math. How come you're not talking about sports?" And they're always going to be bad because of it. But these are the people that feed us. These are the people that feed us. So when it comes to the skill gap, more of your money will come from having more of these people in your contest than by moving from here to there to there. Do you want to move from and move up in your skill? Yes. I'm saying that you shouldn't be doing that. But if we removed all of these bad players on the bottom, then the skill gap isn't going to matter anymore because everyone loses to the Wraith now. The difference, imagine having none of these lineups. So basically all the lineups are going to be, you know, like marginally, it's going to be turn into a lottery, essentially, with a 15% rake. Because the difference between the worst lineup in the contest and the best lineup in the contest from an EV standpoint is going to be very marginal. It's just a matter of what's variance going to happen today? I mean, like, that's what it's going to be. You don't get these 64-cent lineups and 48-cent and 72-cent lineups, and that could be up to 40% of the field. Like, in the millimaker, that's like 40% of the field for the NFL millimaker. MLB, maybe it's 20, 22%, 25%. So as Nerdy Tenor says in Discord yesterday, that it's the number of people using good tools that matters most for EV than the relative quality of said tools, which mimics exactly what I just said before. That it's not about, like, oh, which tool is better than the others. Like, no, how many people are using them, right? Are you going to choose to use them or not? So he says that I'm much more interested in the number of bad players that stop being bad or stop playing, rather than the players going from mediocre to okay to good to very good, which is exactly what I'm highlighting here. Right? This zone down here matters the most. Where does the money come from? Okay? Now, as you increase your skill, you're going to get more of this fair share of money that's where it comes from. Uticao, he's going to get the biggest chunk of it. Right? Which is not that huge of a chunk. But you're gonna get a decent chunk also. I'm gonna get a decent chunk. All these people up here are gonna get a decent chunk. The difference between Uticao's chunk and my chunk is not gonna be that dramatically different. He's gonna have this chunk, and I'm gonna have like a little bit this chunk. It's like, how do I get from this chunk to the yeah, you have to get a little bit better. But the key is to get out of this. The key is to get out of being a bad player. And then once you're in this zone of somewhere around break even, is like, can I get better enough to get into like this zone here? That's kind of the purpose of what my content is. But once you get here, it's like you could always get better, but there's no dramatic. Well, what more can I do? So many people ask. They go through all my content, they take the course, they get the tools, and they go, what more can I do? What more can I study? So not much. There's not much difference. Like now it's just variance. And now just consistently build plus EV lineups. Based on the information that you have. Like, obviously, if you want to adjust some of the projections, adjust some of the projections. The key is the first thing you need to do is you need to find a lot more people that are in this zone down here, right? This bad zone. Head-to-head opponents that put in lineups that are 22 points off median. Sure, yeah. Can I find those people? That's more important. Like, you don't need to be the best, right? And you also don't need to be the best to win large field GPPs. Most of who wins a large field GPP is down to variance. Right, because the differences between the EV of lineups is not that dramatic. Run the simulations, you'll see. ANS Comedy says, I like your content. It makes it simple. I don't think it makes it simple, but it's simpler than programming. Yeah, and it makes me confident in my skills despite not having sims. Right. I think theory of DFS content will definitely get you from this zone, this bad zone down here, up to the break-even point. But most likely, the more you learn, it'll get you from this break-even point to a solidly profitable player. Will it get you to the top? No. I mean, you probably need to develop your own tools and your own. You have to have more precise methodologies. We talk about that all the time. Blunt methodologies, precise methodologies. The more precise your methodologies, the more theoretically profitable you should be. But you only can move up. The key point is that the difference between here and here is in the top. The top guys on the Roto Grinders leaderboard is not that dramatic. It's really not. It's marginal. A lot of times it is. So your concern shouldn't be about, you know, which tool is the best. Or if there's a new tool out there, let's say there's a new tool out there, hypothetically, that does something that maybe has not been publicly available recently. We could go back in time, go back to 2013, 2014. There weren't any publicly available player projections for anything. I mean, I wasn't playing then. I started playing in 2015. There was a time in 2012, 2013, I know of, that Basketball Monster had projections publicly available. And people just made money simply using their projections, right? And they were publicly available because 90% of the field wasn't, the projections weren't even a thing. Of course, the sharp players were making their own models. But the skill gap between having projections and not having projections, it's humongous. It's absolutely humongous. Now, if everyone has projections, then what's the gap there? Not much. The difference would be, my projections are 7% more accurate than yours. It's not going to matter that much, really. You need to be playing against people that think that why aren't we talking about sports? Why does this have to be a math conversation? You want those people in your contest. That's going to matter more. Then optimizers, right? 2016, 2017, in that era, 2015, we started getting lineup builders and optimizers. Oh, you could build 150, you could build 300 lineups. You could set all these numbers, you could make it, and you could upload via CSV. So these sites started offering CSV uploads. If you think that people weren't doing that beforehand, before tools were publicly available, you're not very smart. People made their own, right? How did this person enter 300 lineups? Because before there wasn't even a 150 cap, right? How did this person enter 500 lineups that quickly? Well, they have a tool, they have an optimizer, they have a lineup builder, they have a tool that they program themselves, or they got someone else to program or something. People are like, well, I have to hand build 100 lines. Like, no, you don't have to hand build 100 lineups, right? Then even if you're only building 5 lineups, like, can you do that as efficiently and accurately as possible? Seeing all possible combinations and running through them and comparing ownership numbers and projection numbers, you need a tool for that. RotoGrinder says lineup HQ, right? So the gap between, okay, now everyone has project, now everyone having projections and now having a tool like an optimizer, a lineup builder. Not saying it, people use them correctly. I'm just saying if used correctly, if used properly, that'll move you up from maybe here to there, right? I mean, that you're starting to move up this very shallow line. That you're getting a little bit more profitable. You're taking, basically what you're doing is inching your way up, taking a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit bigger piece of these bad line, the equity seeded by these bad lineups down here. That's what you're doing. Your competition isn't Utacow, isn't McLovin, isn't whoever. Insert top of the road of grinders rankings. Your competition is more. How many bad players still play? How many people do not use the tools that are available? That matters way more than which ones that you use. The difference, if I'm sitting here, let's say I'm in this first spot and you're sitting behind me. Like, wow, I want to be able to beat Jordan in profitability. Like, dude, we're not that different. Dude, I do Zoom calls, right? We do Zoom calls as part of RotoGrinders Premium. I do them twice a month, three times a month. Just group coaching calls. You just talk. We just hang out and talk about whatever on Zoom, not recorded. You know how many people I have to tell? They go through some of their stuff, and I go, here, I go. Dude. It's like, dude, you're good. Like, they're acting like they don't. Like, oh, what am I missing? I'm like, you're not missing anything. Like, your process seems pretty good to me. Right? Seems adequate. He said, well, what can I do? I'm like, nothing. You know the difference between being if me and you both played the same contests all the time and whatever like that, like we'd be the same. I mean, like, doesn't matter if we have different lineups or anything like that. It's like at the end of the day, it's like you're not doing any better than I am. I mean, I'm better than the most profitable players. It's like I'm not saying you're done. You'd always improve. And obviously the landscape changes, right? Players get better, players get worse, formats change. Right, we have baseball this year, more stolen bases, right? So that matters in some direction. You know, pitching has been a kind of a bitch, right? That changes, and the field doesn't adjust in time. So now you try to adjust before the field does. Yeah, there's stuff to do. But once you get into a certain point, once you get to a certain level with the tools that you have that you utilize properly, there's no more way to go. There's not much way to go. Oh, this new tool came out for me to do X, Y, and Z. And if I use it properly, I'm going to go from here to like where you're not. Yeah, you'll probably gain a couple extra cents on the dollar on average for each entry. But it ain't going to take someone down here all the way up here. It's definitely not. The person that's all the way down here doesn't even understand what the tool does, why they should pay for it, and what the numbers even mean. Right. So I'm almost not even concerned about these people. I don't want them to get better. These break-even players. Yeah. Any edge where they start moving up the line is creeping into my potential profit. Just not as much, not that much. So I don't mind helping these people. These are my people. These break-even players. These are my people. These are the people that I help. I can't help these are lost causes. I try to help the people down here by trying to teach them what expected value even is, what the concept even means, right? We're going to flip a coin and you get paid 5 to 1, right? Don't you want to do it? Yeah. Okay. What's the expect that because it's positive expected value, because it's a 50-50 occurrence and I'm paying you like it's an 80% occurrence. Like you're going to make money over time. Right? You say that and then they go, "Okay, I'll bet $1 for 5 to 1." Okay. Name your side. They go heads and I go, "Okay, I'm up tails." And I say, "Did you do anything wrong?" And you know what they say? I said, "Yeah. I didn't pick tails." And then I just shake my head. And I just go, I guess these people just thank you for being in my contests. I mean, just sorry. Sorry if you don't get it. Sorry if you don't get the bare basics of possibly third grade level statistics. That's what these people are. And I like seeing them in my contest, right? The more percentage of those lineups in my contest, the better. But let's say you're in that break-even range and like, oh, okay, I'm gonna start using tools. I'm gonna go and get the advanced player's guide. Right, 6 hours of audio, 10 chapters, and the custom Excel tools. Let's say I use them. How am I going to get better? Like you say, you're telling me, Jordan, that the gap between the top players and just above average players is not that dramatic. And the difference between above average players and break-even players is not that dramatic. So why don't I just stick around here and hope for good variance, right? Some years I'm going to have minus 3%. Some years I'm going to be plus 3% or whatever, which is fine. You can. The thing is that using tools, a lot of times you're not getting more profitable by building better lineups. You're getting more profitable by eliminating the bad lineups you end up playing without realizing it. So for instance, if you were to build, let's say you're playing the 20 max, right? The $4 20 max, $3 20 max, whatever you want, whatever it is. You're building 20 lineups. Now, if you're one of these players down here, it doesn't mean all your 20 lineups are going to be down here, right, on this scale.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
It may actually mean that this player, on average, right, on average, that player, this bad player, on average, is going to have this EV. But he's going to have some lineups down. He's going to have some really bad lineups. He's going to have some break-even lineups. Out of his 20 lineups, maybe he has 3 or 4. Plus EV lineups. Does he know that? No, he doesn't. He doesn't realize it. So out of his 20 lineups, maybe only 4 or 5 are actually plus EV. Maybe 8 or so are actually like somewhere like a little bit less than break even. But then he has some that, you know, he's made 6 of them that are losing like 4X, 5X the rake. Like, are just god awful. Like, why? What are you doing down here? Out of 20 lineups. It doesn't mean all of them are bad. It just means on average, they're around here. These break-even players, right, plus or minus, some of their lineups could be better than Unikow's lineups. But also, they end up with every once in a while, in their 20 lineup set, they may have 6, 7, 8 negative EV lineups. Like, they may have some lineups up here. You see where my mouse is hovering? But they may also have a lineup in at 78 cents. They accidentally have a lineup at 55 cents. Like, they didn't realize it. They're just like, no, I'm playing the low-owned stack. I don't care about this and whatever and this pitcher, whatever, and some combination that just makes no sense for the sake of the contest. And it turns out to be a really bad lineup. Really negative EV lineup. Now, they're break-even, right? They're around break-even, a little bit less, a little bit more, because they still put in enough plus EV lineups that, yeah, they got 5. They got, out of their 20, 5 may end up being negative EV. And that's the cost of doing business. Then when you get up here, you're building 20 lineups. Maybe 18 of them are plus EV, right? Maybe 2 end up being underneath the line. You know, without really, you know, you just, that's the cost of doing business. Then when you get up here to the top level, maybe you end up with 0 negative EV lineups, right? Like, that would be the difference. So the tools that you use are hopefully doing that. They're not like, oh, how do I build better lineups? It's like, no, how do I not include the bad lineups that I have been including? You build 150 set? I mean, if you don't know what you're doing with lineup HQ, number one, you could build 150 negative EV lineups. But even if in your way of trying to build 150 plus EV lineups, sometimes just working with the tools, you're going to have a margin of error where Yeah, it's quite probable 20 out of my 150 lineups are just negative EV. And that's the only way that I could get to these 130 plus EV lineups, right? That's like, okay, it's the cost of doing business. Well, any new tool that you use, don't think of in terms of how can I turn my $16 lineups into $21 lineups? I think it's more, how do I turn my 78 cent lineups into not playing them? Right? I don't end up playing those lineups. Right? Because I'm playing 20 and I end up with the couple that aren't. I think that's what the tools are more. And then the more useful, the more you do that, your average lineup EV starts going up, which means the amount of bad lineups you're putting in goes down. So you move closer and closer up. That's what the value of these tools are, or any tool in your arsenal. Once you've gotten to the point where you understand how to play the game of DFS, the three levers, projection, correlation, leverage, you understand combinatorics, you understand where the equity is, you understand the differences between all the contextual variables of a contest. And all this stuff is in these courses. I mean, like you just, on the show, we talk about it on the show, just that we skip around and I answer questions or whatever. If you want it all in one spot, go to theoryofdfs.com. Once you have all of that, and then you have access to a way to turn player names into numbers, a player projection as well as an ownership projection. Like once you have all of that, and you understand conceptually, even if you're hand building from that point, you're probably already in this break-even zone. You're there. You're done. And to there. Now it's just a matter of just being more consistent and building more of them. Knowing how to adjust to different slates. Right? Even if you're hand building, just getting out of this zone, getting out of the break-even zone into the profitable, into the consistently profitable zone, getting from the bad to the bakery. That's what it's for. And eliminating the lineups that you would have played previously had you not had these tools. That in and of itself will just obviously make you more money. Not because your best lineups are making you more, it's because their worst lineups don't exist anymore. Anus Comedy says, if I watch the show every day, would you say I'm ready for the advanced course, or is there stuff in the beginner's guide that isn't covered here? I would suggest, I would get the first one. Like I said, it's more of a difference between structure and unstructure. I've always said this. It sounds nuts. What I would do, like if you're asking me what I would do, what I would do is different from what I would suggest. Because I know I'm a different person. So ANS Comedy says, if I watch the show every day, would you say I'm ready for the advanced course? It's like, yeah, if you did. But you didn't. You know what I would do? I would go back to the very first show and watch every show. I watch everything. You go, well, you have like 450 episodes. I said, yeah, I also have 100 Theory of DFS podcast episodes. And some of them are 3 hours long. There's also tons of old videos that I did before I was on Roto Grinders. I've thousands of hours of content. And you know what I would do? If I started today, I'd watch them all. And you go, ha 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 ha. Well, yeah, you watch them all. And I go, I'm not joking. That's how I learned how to play DFS, by watching everything. I watched RG videos from 2013. And it was 2 years later. So any show Jonathan Bales is on, I'm going to watch. I just watched old NFL shows or whatever. Just get a sense of, you know, this guy seems to have a sense of how to play strategically, conceptually, like you play poker. And I started to just, anyone that sounded like that, I'm like, I want to watch all their shows. So I watched all their shows. I said, but what happens if they had 80 shows? So I watched all 80 of them. Doesn't mean I'm just staring at the screen intently. What? No. But I put them on. That's what I would suggest. But I know most people aren't me. They don't exist like that. That's why I made the courses. That's the point. So if you don't want to go through 450 episodes of the DFS pregame show, you get the 15-hour audio DFS masterclass. If you don't understand basic concept, like this, what we went over today is in the first course, essentially. It's called the skill gap. What is the skill gap? Did I, in this, in the first course, do we go that much, this much into detail? No. Just understand the difference that the money comes from the skill gap. There's no objectively good and bad lineups. It's in relation to one other, right? The example, the funny example I always give is that, you know, if I was playing a game of one-on-one basketball against LeBron James, like I'd never win, right? Like, or LeBron James played, if LeBron and Giannis played a game of one-on-one, like who would be better? They bet on it. Like the skill gap would be, you know, you could argue, oh, LeBron would win, oh, Giannis would win, or whatever. But I guarantee you that if they bet $100 a game, whoever you chose as who's going to be better, I'm going to make so much more money as myself playing one-on-one against the 8-year-old kid in a wheelchair. Right? I'm horrible at basketball. I mean, I'm a 44-year-old dude that's not athletic. What am I going to do? But against the 8-year-old kid in the wheelchair that's paraplegic, that maybe he's in a coma also. He probably has to be in a coma as well. Just dragged around. Like, I'm going to beat that kid. So if that kid wants to bet me $100 a game, I'm going to make way more money than LeBron James, right? Because the difference in my skill and LeBron's skill is dramatic. But the difference between the half-dead comatose zombie baby in the wheelchair and me is dramatic also. So that's what matters the most in DFS is the skill gap between players. When the skill gap between players is minimal, that's the lottery, right? Imagine going, oh, I'm skilled at the lottery. Like, there's no skill in that. The gap between me choosing numbers and you choosing numbers randomly is there's not much of a skill there. Although technically, remember, I take things very literally. There actually is a skill gap. It's a small one. There's actually a skill gap in the lottery. There are little skills. I don't want to say there isn't because there actually is. It doesn't matter much. It doesn't make you. It's not. Oh, you're guaranteed to win. It's still highly negative expectation. But do you know what that is? If you're in the YouTube chat. There is a skill gap in the lottery. There is an edge. There is an edge to go from being like minus 35% or whatever negative EV to being minus like 33% or something. Like it's marginal. This is why I don't like talking in absolutes. Oh, it never happens. It always happens. It's likely. It's unlikely. It's what like. Like, no, it's like, oh, can I play a bench player in my lineup? It's like, usually not, but I'm not going to say never. There are going to be instances where playing a guy that doesn't play in your lineup is going to be optimal. So for me to say never, now, if you never did it, you're probably not missing out on anything, but it's technically incorrect for me to say never do it. So what's the skill gap? What are people that choose their own numbers in the lottery? You know what they tend to do? Birthdays, right? Birthdays and special days. They put, you know, so a lot of times, but the 1 to 31 are much more overused than 32 and above. And you go, well, what does that matter? It's like, well, you have a slightly more chance. If you're picking numbers that are 31 or under, you have a little bit higher chance of being duplicated when the numbers win. So instead of winning the $160 million, whatever, you're going to have to split that. Because you're more likely to be duped. right? Just like in DFS, the duplication factor will go up. And we know, conceptually, mathematically, duplication hurts your EV, right? Doesn't make you pray, you can't be profitable in the lottery, but I'm just saying that there is an edge. There actually is a little bit of an edge. ANS says, does anyone play the lottery and not use the quick win? Does anyone play the lottery? Who the hell plays the lottery? Unless that's your form of entertainment, okay. You buy that ticket and you think about, oh, if I got all of this money, I would, whatever. That's the entertainment factor of the lottery, I guess. A dollar and a dream, right? Noah Rosen asks, can you talk about optimal lines versus cash lines for today's slate? No. I don't even know what that means. Optimal lines versus cash lines. I have no idea. But this show doesn't talk about today's slate on a term of like, this guy, you should play this guy. That there would be no point in that. Especially when we don't have any of the lineups out. Right? You know what I would suggest? You join RotoGrinders Premium. You get the RotoGrinders projections, player projections, owners projections. You get Cheese's $1 million musings, right? You wait for the lineups. You wait for starting lineups to come out. You wait for weather data to come in, umpire data to come in, right? Talking about it now at 11:52 in the morning, that doesn't really do much, right? All you have to be doing is going, hey, we got to wait for the numbers to come in to update. Then you tune in later, right? We got Grinders Live later today, right? Grinders Live at 5 Eastern. Crunch time at around 6:30, right? Then at least all of the projections, everything will be updated. All ownership, stack types, and everything. We update. And then you could just look at that. Now, obviously, you could watch the shows, and they'll explain the projections to you. You can. Or you could look at them yourself. Right, so I don't even know what to talk about this early about anything. And I definitely don't understand what the difference between optimal lines and cash lines mean. So if you want to clarify that, that's fine. I'm always here to answer questions. I just don't understand what the question is. But I got another sketch, right? I think I deleted the other one that was here, right? Got the little sketch. Looks like little, it's like mitochondria. This is almost like a cell. There's a cell. These eyes. This is a big block with eyes, right? Above the water, right? This is like a frog. This is a frog. This is a frog's face. This could be a frog's face, or it could be a tadpole. This is just an eyeball. That's an eyeball. That's an olive. It's an olive in a martini. It's underwater. The olive is drowning, right? That's what this is, right? Do you like my artistic skill? It's easier to explain stuff like this, right? And I don't want to draw anything. I don't want to put together stuff in Photoshop and have arrows and whatever. It's like, no, I just use my mouse and draw it like anything else. So Noah Rosen says, sorry, I'm trying to learn when people refer to what the optimal line is, and then it seems to be different than what the hundreds of the same cash lines are in double ups and such. Well, an optimal line, you're talking about the highest projected median lineup for a projection set. So like I could even show you. So I do answer questions here. Noah Rosen says, it feels like when I enter double ups, there are long trains of the same lineup, but it's not an optimal lineup if I click it. Yeah, because they're not, who says they're using the same projections as you? Right? All that optimal, don't think of op, it's the highest median projected lineup. Median projected, median. Remember, that's 50 percentile. So like if I go to the bat projections right now, right? I'm on the bat project right now. Obviously, we don't have lineup orders. We don't have, like, dude, we don't got anything. Like, who knows? Is Corey Seager in the lineup? We don't know. Right? Probably. But, right? So if I go here, I just type in whatever. Right? So here you go. That this is the lineup. According to the bat projections, that is the highest. See, 116.69. Right? So based on all the positions and everything like that, all the projections that are currently at 11:56 a.m., this is a lineup that, I mean, this would be the highest median lineup. It's more suitable for double-ups, right? Head-to-heads. Based on the bat projections. Now, if I change the projections to the plate IQ projections here at RotoGrinders, and I press the button again, look, different people are in, right? The projections are slightly different. Now you have Logan Webb in here. Lamont Wade, who knows if he's even going to be in the lineup, right? I mean, like, this is a different lineup. You know what I could also do, Noah? Instead of having the plate IQ projections or the bad projections, I could actually aggregate the two together, right? So I could have 50% weight on the plate IQ projections and 50% weight on the bad projections. It'll basically average the two out. So I'm going to save that projection set. Right? Use. Like, Burns is in that line, right? And then that's a 114.81. Right? So the optimal lineup is not, there's no such thing as that. Remember, lineup HQ is not picking players. All it's doing is solving a knapsack problem. This FPTS column. Based on prices and whatever. Just like, how do I fit as many of these FPTS column numbers into one lineup based on, you know, the salary and positional constraints? That's all it's doing. It's not picking players. It has no takes. It's literally not thinking at all. It's just looking at the number in the FPTS column. That's it. And saying, how do I make this number as high as possible? 114.81. But if I change Mookie Betts' projection to 9, right? Let's say here, right? If I change his projection to 8, right? He's obviously not going to end up showing up here anymore, right? Now it's going to give me Estrada, Haniger, right? So those trains that you see in your contests are typically the highest median I don't want to use the word optimal because you don't understand what that means. You'll see trains of different lineups that happen to be the highest projected median lineup of some projection set or aggregate of a projection set. So that's why you get that. If you go to the bat projections a couple of minutes before lock and say, give me the highest median lineup, regardless of correlation, regardless of anything, right? Just whatever it is. You're going to probably see a bunch of that lineup in your double ups. If you go to the plate IQ projections, you probably see a couple of those. If you go to other sites and you run that, you upload that into lineup HQ. You go to other sites that have projections, you'll see some of those lineups. And you just click the button. What's the highest median projected lineup? You'll see a bunch of those. And then if you aggregate all of them together, you may see some of those. It may just be a 2v2. May have a slightly different, it depends on the slate. I mean, sometimes players are a little bit closer projected than others. So that's it. And you know the difference between most of the most, if not all of those lineups? Nothing. So if you're in contests where people are playing, even if they're not playing your projection set, like there's no edge in those contests. There's no edge whatsoever. In fact, I would be more likely to find where people are doing that in triple ups and quintuple ups and exploiting that rather than play the double ups at all. So yeah, so that's the reason, right? If you go to Reddit and ask about long trains of lineups, of course it's they'll tell you it's some cabal, right? the protocols, the elders of Zion or whatever. It's some Illuminati conspiracy theory or something like that. They'll tell you, oh, they're all in a secret chat working together, right? No, they just don't understand math. They just don't understand math. That there's only a few places predominantly that have good projections for different sports. And then people go, okay, what's the highest median lineup? I'm playing that. Like that's really what it comes down to. Let's say ain't a conspiracy. It ain't a big conspiracy. You know, it should be a conspiracy. You clicking that thumbs up button. Give me those thummy thumbs. Give me those thummy thumbs. I'll wave them in different directions. Wave them in different directions. If you got any questions for me, you'd like me to go into more, you could always email them in. Questions@theoryofdfs.com. Obviously, you could tune in. I'm here all the time. Follow me on Twitter @BlenderHD. See me in Discord. We're having a coaching call tomorrow. Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, I believe. 5 o'clock Eastern. Right. Tomorrow's Thursday, right? So just sign up for RotoGrinders Premium. Join the Blender's Game Theory channel in the Discord. And join the Zoom call at 5 o'clock tomorrow. I'll be doing that. And if you don't join me then, you can join me here. Right? Because I'm here answering your DFS strategy questions. Like I always do. Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern, on the DFS pregame show on rotogrinders.com.